Nothing comes close. Really, it's the king of sciences because theology is the study of God. All right? It's been said that the highest calling that God can give any man is to call him to the ministry. I believe that. Still true. I've heard it said that if a minister were to leave the ministry and become the president of the United States, it's a demotion. Beloved, you know it's a huge demotion? And I'm going to try to convince you in the time that I have that you will see, yes, it's a huge demotion if a man left the ministry to become the president of the United States. I've also was told by a professor at Elam Bible Institute, which is our alma mater, and I'll never forget it because it kind of stunned me and discouraged me, but he said, if you can do anything else but ministry, do it. If you can be content doing anything else but ministering the Word of God, do it. And I cannot. If I stop ministering, I hope I'm going to heaven, and that's the reason I stop. I remember telling Matthew when he was a teenager, he said, honey, I don't care what you are in life, as long as it's the will of God. And I told him this, I don't know if he remembers, he said, if God calls you to be a garbage man, do it for the glory of God and be the best garbage man you can be. And I meant it, because as much as I had aspirations for him, I wanted so much more than that, what God wanted for him. Now, why is preaching the highest calling that God could give a young man like Matthew? You should. You have to bear with my emotions. I'm the more emotional side of the marriage. And this is, by the way, this is the longest I've gone without seeing my wife since we've been married, almost 34 years, so doing all right. This is my salvation chest. This is the chest, if you will, of eternal life. Can you see my face dwelling? I don't know if you can with the lighting in here, but what's in there, Michael? Well, not in any specific order, but of course what purchases the chest, the blood of Jesus Christ, or no one gets it. You see, and that is his blood that removes the wrath of God from off of our heads. And then by faith in him, his righteousness, which I use for children, is A-plus report card, is transferred to them. And it's on them all the days of their life, which of course you know is replicated or symbolized by his white robe of righteousness. Amen. And you could be in the worst sin that you're doing, that you've struggled with as a Christian, and while you're doing the sin, I'm talking about if you're really a regenerate Christian, straight to heaven. That stuns religious people. And you could have the nicest man in the neighborhood who's not trusting in Christ's righteousness, helping a little old woman cross the street and a bus hits them both, straight to hell. Because the only righteousness God accepts is perfect righteousness. And there's only one who had it. And for those who believe it's transferred to them. Oh, there's so many things in here. Certificate of adoption. I wish I could read them all, but I can't. Certificate of completion. You see, Jesus, it is finished by him. And this salvation chest has all these hasps on it for padlocks. What do you mean by that? Well, no one can add to it or take from it. And that's how you get in trouble with God, too, when you try to. Completed. Certificate of death. Name of deceased, Jesus of Nazareth. Date of birth, circa 4 BC. Date of death, Passover, circa 29-30 AD. Time of death, the ninth hour. It's sealed by his death. Divine draft notice. You are hereby notified by God the Father that he has chosen you in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight and love, and are hereby classified as 1A via his sovereign selective service and divine draft board, and put into effect on the day he called you into fellowship with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is because of him, God the Father, that you are in Christ Jesus. Certificate of transfer. This certifies that all of those in Christ have been given an authorized transfer of residency from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves, via the aforesaid blood and executed by the love, will, choice, efficacy, and power of God the Father. And there's just so much in here, beloved. And just the beauty of holiness with these precious stones, but I must go on. How does, now, this is the chest of salvation, but how does God get the chest, if you will, and the contents transferred to a human being? Is there a serum that is injected? I know Pastor Garner would love to have it if it is. Is there a magic wand that we wave over people and that's how you get it? No. The contents of this, the way it's communicated to human souls, is through a collection of words that are more precious than these, called the gospel. The way that the benefits that are indescribable, that come upon human beings, are contained in a collection of words. Have you ever pondered that? Words carry the truth that when it enters the human soul through faith is what gets this chest, so to speak, in you. And God has called preachers to carry the jewels. Of course, all Christians do, I understand. But we're talking about preaching. Amen? The way that the jewels that transfer the chest are put in people to be partakers of the chest comes through preaching words. When the angel appeared to Cornelius in Acts 10, remember? The angel didn't tell him the jewels, did he? Not allowed to. He said, go find Peter. He will tell you words by which you shall be saved. Acts 11:14. What did Peter say to Jesus? Lord, where else can we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. So you see, being a preacher, you're not called to entertain people. You're not called to be a comedian or an entrepreneur. You're called to be a preacher, you see. We're talking about why it's so important what's happening here today. Far more important than Inauguration Day. And you know, beloved, that if people become partakers of the salvation chest, God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are His children, and if children, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. You see, if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. You see, I was going through some pains at junior camp last week, and one of the staff felt to do in their skit. She had a gold fabric that was beautiful, something like from Ten Commandments movie. And at the end, she came and she put it around me, symbolizing God's glory, because she knew I needed encouragement. But anyway, you're going to wonder, what's he doing walking over there? You see, that's the kingdom. Those are those who will receive the grace chest by receiving the jewels of the message. But you see, the reason why Matthew's ordination to what he's been called to is so important is that God was pleased by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. And then, oh, Michael, we've gone into dialogue now. No, we haven't. We discuss. No, God hasn't changed his mind. He hasn't changed his mind. Why? Why does God use preaching? And the scripture even says it's the foolishness of preaching. You know why, beloved, I believe? It's because for any human nature does not like to be told what to do by anyone. And you know what? God in his wisdom, I will have the means by which people receive this. They have to be told what to do by preachers. And for you to be told to do anything by anyone in human nature is very difficult. Anyone notice besides me? Unless you become like a little child. So it takes humility to enter the kingdom, does it not? And one of the ways God filters those people out is they have to be told what to do by a preacher on how to receive it. And God has not changed his mind. Why? Because humans still haven't changed their nature. You see, now watch. I'm so glad this sanctuary is so conducive to this, and I've never done it this way. That's the reward, the award of the preacher, those who receive his words. But you see, there's another side, isn't there, beloved? The consequences of not hearing the words of the preacher are catastrophic. Let me put this where you can see it. What I'm about to share with you is what I shared with 9-year-olds on Wednesday night. Do you hear them? Do you hear them screaming? Billions of souls screaming nonstop. Nonstop. How do you know? Because I saw the heart and mind of Jesus. What are you a mind reader? No, I read his word. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 that, and this is what he meant, right, is that of all the human beings that will ever exist from Adam and Eve until the last soul is conceived, the vast majority of them will be there. He said, few are those who find life. Broad and wide is the gate in the road that leads to destruction. What did he say? Many are those who find it. So I was teaching these children that right now the wicked dead are in a place from Luke 16. What are they doing? They go from the glamour and the popularity and the wealth and the pleasures of life in a second, and they're instantly screaming. I want to name celebrities' names just because I feel like when I share these things and don't name names, it doesn't shake you enough. But people like we listen to at wedding receptions, and people we've watched on television, who looks like they died in their sin. They're a totally different person now. They're not what the image that we saw. They're there. They're screaming. And beloved, there's no end. There's not 1 second of respite or rest or, all right, take a break now. And I told the children that God is so holy and he hates sin so much. And these people who would not come to him through his preachers, they kept saying, no, 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 this is my life. And I'll do what I want with it. The one who said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, for him to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Iniquity, those people must have been incredibly evil. For Jesus, of all people, to say, depart from me. We always get hung up on the Lord. Like, we start judging or questioning him. We never look at the people who deserve it. That's human nature, too. But you see, for Jesus to say that, those people must have been horrendously evil. And the Lord Jesus, who created hell, no one knows what it's like more than him. Amen? And in Luke 16, I'm not daring to think that's a parable or metaphorically spoken or, no, I wouldn't tamper with those words straight from the lips of the Son of God. You see. Michael, did you scare those children? I sure did. Right into the arms of Jesus Christ. Right into the arms of Jesus Christ, right to the cross. You see, you can tell the difference, beloved, between the fear of God, that's godly fear, and fear of God that's not, or demonic fear. Is that it's the fear of God where you're absolutely terrified of him, but you can't hold him tight enough. Jesus. And at camp, I went up to this cross, life size. I just grabbed it and I said, kids, don't be afraid of these doctrines. And the more you study them, the more you hug it. And you get splinters on your face. And it's, we do a travesty to people when we don't, no, don't talk about that. People won't come. Beloved, when we tone it down or deny it or ignore it, each time we do, whatever degree we lessen the consequence of rejecting it, we slap God in the face. We insult his holiness and his justice. And we spit on the blood that sanctified us. And we trample underfoot the Son of God. You see. You see the importance of preaching, beloved? Remember, God was pleased through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. The open pit. That's why I put him so far apart. You know why? Remember when the man down there screaming said, you know, he cried for water. Amen? He cried for water. And then he said, well, send someone to my father's house. Because I have 5 brothers. That he might warn them. Lest they come to this place, not a state of mind or on earth, a place of torment. Now, beloved, these words were from Jesus Christ. Not some butcher at the delicatessen down the street. Jesus Christ said these words. We best hear, you see. And it's the words of the preacher that keep people from going to that dreadful place. And what did Abraham say through the lips of Jesus? No, anyone who wishes to go from here to there, they cannot, and no one from your side can come here, because there's a great gulf or chasm between the two. Beloved, this is what we preachers need to keep in mind as we share the word of God with people who are going there. No vision of that. How do you have vision of the righteousness of God? And I've never pondered this with all the meditation I've done on hell. Michael, you're sick. You've meditated. Yeah, I do, because it keeps me loving God like I've never known. It's healthy. It's healthy. It really is. You don't really understand salvation until you know what you're saved from. And what is it? It's the preaching of the gospel. How are they going to hear, Michael, to stand at that place? Unless there's the preacher. And we're ordaining one today. But I can, beloved, the souls right now that are beneath our feet and are screaming, you know what? They're crying for water, and they're crying for someone to rise from the dead to warn everybody else. But they're not allowed to, are they? What did Abraham say? No. What did he say? He said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them read them. One of the most powerful things Jesus Christ ever said through the lips of Abraham. You know what that means, beloved? God isn't giving any more proof. And men don't need any other proof but this. Wow. It's so self-authenticating and so self-evident that it's the truth. That if you don't believe this, you won't believe it if someone rises from the dead. And that's exactly what happened. Another Lazarus got raised from the dead, amen? And they tried to kill him because many people were going to Jesus because of him. Even though they saw him raised from the dead. And to make matters worse, when Jesus Christ was crucified and rose from the dead, they paid the soldiers to. You see. Now, will you come up here, please? I need somebody to act like a sinner for me. Ben, no, this is not typecasting. Okay? You get over there, okay? Now, well, buddy, but you're all dressed up. It wouldn't look right, so sorry. It wouldn't look cool. So. Cover your kids' eyes, maybe. Matthew was with me when I bought this years ago. Two reasons. It was on sale. And number two, and I'm serious, adults, I didn't realize there would be such young children in here, and I apologize for that. But the reason I wanted this one is because the mouth, you know, Satan's, and I don't mean to be funny here, I try to do anything I can, as you notice, to remember the Word of God and principles. Satan's favorite food is soul food. I can think of nothing that Satan does. Pastor, if you think of something, please let me know. Of everything that he does, why does he do that? What's the bottom line motivation for Satan to do what he does? He wants all the human race in hell with him. He slanders God to you so you will walk away from God. That's exactly what he did to Adam and Eve. Remember? He doth know that in the day you eat of it, you should be like him. You should be as gods. And then he slanders men to God, trying to get God to reject us. He's the accuser of the... Now watch. Here's the preacher. Here's the Word of God. God help preachers who are not preaching from the Word of God. I don't know if we can do this, honey, but just, here are the jewels. Now watch. You know this. The preacher, anointed by God, to communicate the jewels of the gospel to a sinner. Now watch how serious. I'm trying to convey to you, beloved, why being called to be a preacher is the highest calling by far. Anything else pales in comparison. That's what I'm trying to get across to you today. Pastor, do ministers get attacked right before they preach? Sure. I have to call my wife and I'm a mess. I always try to call Kim when I'm on the road and get her to pray for me before I preach, and it's always something. And I'm a mess. And God uses her all the time to encourage me. Went to my in-laws today, got prayer from them. You see, the devil comes after the holder of the jewels. Now watch. In the transmission of the jewels, what does he attack next? The jewels. First recorded words of the devil in the Old Testament. Hath God said? Did God really say? Questions the jewels so that he won't receive them. Word of God. What are the devil's first recorded words in the New Testament? If you are the Son of God. Word of God, deity of Christ. Either one you reject, you're lost. You see? So he goes after the minister. And how many have we seen fall, beloved, in our generation? It's not a happy thing. Many have gone down. And then he goes after the jewels. Liberal theology, false theology, aberrant theology, taking the jewels apart from the other context of the other jewels and magnifying one jewel above the other. That's all tampering with it, you see. But Paul said, I gave to you what was of first importance. The very first word out of his mouth next, Christ. Christ is the gospel. And then the very next thing, die for our sins. I am determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. So watch, now he attacks the minister, he attacks the jewels, trying to dilute, pollute, twist, soften, tone down, delete, add to it. And then, what does it say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? If our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, that they might not see. He has blinded the mind of unbelievers that they might not see. Now watch now. The light of the gospel. How many of you, when you got saved, you saw literal light? Mom did? Okay. Well, mom's in the minority, and I think most people in America would say so. Though I know there are people who have, the Apostle Paul did. But most of us did not see literal light. But what does it say in 2 Corinthians? It's the light of a collection of words called the gospel. In other words, knowledge, truth, gives light. You see. But he hides it from them so they might not see the light of the gospel, of the glory, in other words, the perfections of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. That's the most important definition of the glory of God, which was our camp theme, is when God reveals his perfection. And the devil does not want the lost to see that. You see. Thank you, buddy. Now, that brings us almost to a close. In the light of that, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, Paul told Timothy, guard that which has been entrusted to you. You know how many ministers started off well and then got deluded, polluted? They tampered with the text, they toned it down, and it's no longer the gospel. That's why Paul said to Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. If your doctrine's a mess, your life will be a mess. And if your doctrine's a mess, you have no jewels to convey to the lost, you see. So this is very, very serious to look what's happening here today. This is not, you know, this is, you know what, you notice the press isn't here, there's no helicopters flying over, or, you know, it's you know, no fanfare, but it's incredibly, so much more important than any, even the Queen of England being installed or whatever, is what's happening here today, because someone's getting installed to preach the gospel. Okay, we're almost done. And good news, I lost my original notes. I've been doing camps now for 28 years, and it's like, wow. There's nothing like it on earth. To be laying on your face with children for like an hour after they responded to the preaching of the word and the moving of the Spirit, nothing like it. And Matthew was my right arm at camp for years. And then there came a time when he just felt not to go. Remember that, babe? I'll never forget it. And I was really a mess without him. But you know what? I just was overwhelmed by the work. And I just entreated him. Honey, you pray about it. And remember what you told me? I do. I'll never forget it because I felt like I won the lottery when I got you. But he said, a priest is called to serve the people. He's a priest. Of course, we're all priests. Now, speaking of that, this is the portion of the word that I think is one of the most powerful an Old Testament type or description of what a preacher is. Korah's rebellion had just happened in Numbers 16. All right, the earth opened up and swallowed whole families, remember? And then it says, this is amazing, but then it says the Israelites grumbled against the Lord for doing it. So guess what happens then? A plague comes and starts taking people out. Now watch. And Moses said to Aaron, take your censer, put in it fire from the altar and lay incense on it. Then bring it quickly to the congregation. and make atonement for them. Why? For wrath has gone forth from the Lord. The plague has begun. Now watch. Then Aaron took it as Moses had spoken and ran into the midst of the assembly. Ministry is not casual. If you're sitting around casual, I can't believe that you've been immersed in the Word and the Spirit of God. It's not a casual thing. It's life and death, you see. For behold, the plague has begun among the people. So he, Aaron, put on the incense and made atonement for the people. Now watch, this is the verse, number 16:48. This is what I see in vision for Matthew, and it's true of any preacher. And he took his stand between the dead and the living, so that the plague was checked. That's what a preacher does. He takes his stand between the dead and the living, and he offers the jewels. And many people don't go over the precipice to the pit from which they never get out, because the preacher took his stand between the living and the dead, and he had the jewels that rescued them. You see. One last verse from Acts chapter 26. I'm sure you know where I'm going. What's part of Matthew's commission? Arise, stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you. All right, then it goes on. And it says, verse 18, to open their eyes. And it's interesting, Matthew, when he was a teenager at our church in Delaware, went on an open eyes tour, and they went around a part of the country. That was the name of their tour. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance, remember, heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ, with Christ, among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Father, you've given us a tremendous gift, Lord, in the person of our firstborn. And now, Lord, he's a gift into the body of Christ at large. Father, your anointing's been on him for a long time. And we just trust you, Lord, with him, his beautiful wife and children. You're going to continue to use him for your glory, Lord, and enable him to protect these precious jewels that are indescribable. In Jesus' name, and for his glory, I pray. Amen. Thank you.